This morning we are definitely going to be into a Christmas passage or one of the Christmas passages, but over the past couple weeks I was listening to some social media, I guess you might say, for lack of a better term. But anyway, I was listening to it, and what it was talking about really didn't have anything to do with Scripture, but as God kind of laid it on my heart or set it out there in front of me, I thought it was such a really neat experience to think about. Now, some of you are not old enough to remember this, but back in 1977, the government sent out two probes out into outer space. They were going to check out the outer solar system and stellar space, interstellar space, and anything that they could find. And so they sent out these two probes that were called Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. But now, that would make sense if they sent out Voyager 1 first and then sent out Voyager 2. But that's not what they did. I don't know why, but they sent Voyager 2 out, I believe it was in August, and Voyager 1 out in September. But anyway, as I thought about that this week, some of you, like I said, may be familiar with that. But do you know what they sent on those Voyagers? I looked it up this past week. They sent 59 greetings in 59 different languages on Voyager 2, and then 55 on Voyager 1. These languages said everything from, in all these different languages, from how are you doing? I love some of these. They are amazing at what they actually said. The things that, hi, I hope you're doing well today. I don't know who they're sending this to, but I love these greetings. Warm greetings to everyone. Dear Turkish-speaking friends, may the honors of the morning be upon your heads. We greet you, great ones. We wish you longevity. How's everyone? We're all very much wish you to meet you. If you're free, please come and visit. Hey, that was Mandarin Chinese. They were friendly people. Greetings from a computer programmer in a small university town in Ithaca on planet Earth. Greetings from a human being on the planet Earth. Peace, contact. We are sending greetings from our world, wishing you happiness, health, and many years. We wish you all the best from our planet. They sent all of these greetings, and there's 59 of them from 59 different languages reaching out into stellar space. Along with those languages, they sent 116 images. These images consisted of anything from DNA structure, our solar system, the Nile, a skeleton, pictures of children, the Great Barrier Reef, the Wall of China, Kathy Rigby. Gets better. Jane Goodall and the chimpanzees, dolphins, snowflakes, autumn leaves, just the Taj Mahal, so many different images that they sent out there into space. But what gets me is I love this one. They sent music as well. All of this was on what they called a golden record, and they sent directions on how to play it, so I'm assuming they sent a record player along with it. But on this golden record, they had different kinds of music from all over the world. They had Beethoven's Fifth, they had Bach, they had Mozart, they had a Navajo night chant. But the one I loved the most was Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry. Are you serious? That's what we sent into outer space? I mean, I like the song, but really, they're going to think we're nuts. But they sent out, spending back then in 1977, $250 million to send these two pods out into the solar system to try to reach something. Surely somebody or something is out there. And so we're going to send all these languages, all these images, these greetings, this music to try to reach people. Some of the sounds they sent were wind and rain, crickets, frogs. I don't like crickets here. Why would you send those out? frogs, birds, whales, chimpanzees, dogs, a blacksmith, a tractor, a ship's horn, a train's whistle, a bus, a car, an F-11 flyby, the Apollo 15 liftoff noise, a heartbeat, and a kiss. That's what they sent out there. Now, I don't understand it. And of course, they didn't understand it either, obviously, because they're reaching out there trying to find someone out there, and you're going to send the sound of a blacksmith. I don't know that I would know what that sounds like if I just heard the noise that I could pick out that it was a blacksmith. You know, and they sent these things out there trying to reach some type of intelligent life. And as sad as that is, man is still trying to reach out to find intelligent life that's out there when all along he's been trying to reach us. Which brings us to our scripture today. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. And so if you would read along with me. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day to be able to read this story about what you did, why you love us, we'll never understand. But Father, today as we open your word, I pray that your spirit would move among us, that we'd understand what it's all about. Lord, we lift this time to you that you'd be glorified and honored. Speak to each of us where we are to get us to be where you want us to be. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Like I said, in all that stuff about the Voyager, it's that understanding that men have been trying to reach out because they know something else is out there. But they're right here, they're missing what we just read. That God, I think it's Galatians 4:4, says, "God in the fullness of time, at the perfect time, sent his son to be born of a woman." God in his perfect timing did that. As we look at this passage, there's three things we can see, and I want us to understand today, because I think they're all three very important, but if we miss them, I think we're really mistaken. Because the people that sent out the Voyager, they had good intentions. But having good intentions is not enough. If you came here this morning with good intentions, that's not enough. If you leave here with good intentions, that's not enough. The three things that we're going to look at today, the first is prophecy. We know that the prophecy that is read in this scripture, if we go back to Isaiah, and you don't have to turn there, but it's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." 700 years later, from the time of Isaiah to the time of Christ's birth, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." That's not a coincidence. That's the power of my God. That's the forethought of our God. He told them in prophecy all the things that were going to happen concerning Jesus. and they all took place. This one here, you can't be any more specific. He even mentioned the name. We need to understand the importance of prophecy. Now, I'm not one of those preachers that preaches on prophecy because I'm not smart enough. But I know what I read and I know what he says and I know I trust him. So if we look at this, the prophecies that came 700 years before were fulfilled on that night when God chose to send his son to be born of a virgin for us. Now he tells them here that child, she'll bear a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. That's the prophecy. Prophecy is something, because we're going to get into prophecy and promise. Prophecy is something that God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Now, just because somebody says there's prophecy out there, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Because there's a lot of prophecy that has nothing to do with God. And if it's not in this book, then it's not a prophecy of God. But if it's in this book and it is a prophecy of God, it's going to take place, whether you like it or not. There are people who say, well, I don't believe in prophecy. Doesn't matter. I may not believe in the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, but those flashing lights behind me, they do. So it doesn't matter what I believe when it comes to the Word of God. The Word of God is true whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not. The prophecy of God is going to come true. It came true all throughout the Old Testament, and it was fulfilled in the life of Jesus. And the prophecy that has not been fulfilled yet is going to be fulfilled in Jesus. We have to understand that. Now, you and I, we may not know when it's going to happen. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we know it's going to happen and we prepare for it. We come here today to celebrate the birth of Jesus. The fact that he came as that child and was born in that manger as a Savior in the city of David, he came that night. But the prophecy that's going to come, he's going to come and he's not coming as a baby. He's not going to be in a manger. He's coming as the King of Kings. And we need to know that that's going to take place. The prophecy of God is always, always fulfilled. Next, we're going to look at the promise. When we look at the promise, he tells Joseph, she's going to have a baby. You're going to call his name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sin. That's a promise. He will save his people from their sins. But Pastor, not all of his people, not all of the Jews, not all of the people that were called by God in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we know that they didn't all come to know God. They didn't all obey God. They didn't all make it into the promised land. So he says, here, how does that work? He said, it says he will save his people from their friends. That's a promise. But I can make you a promise, and I may fail on that promise. But when he makes you a promise, the only way it can fail is on you. That's what we have to understand. He made the promise that his children, that he was going to give them the promised land. And they wandered around, some of them, 40 years in the wilderness and died before they could go in. The promise had been made, but the reason it failed was not because of God, it was because of them and their lack of faith and action on what they believed. God gives us promises throughout the Bible. They're there. Why don't they always happen? Because I don't act on my faith. I have faith. I believe in God. I know that He is true to His Word. He always has been. He always will be. And He promises to take care of me. He promises me that if I will believe in Him, that He is going to be there. And so when I don't act on that, how can I expect that promise to be fulfilled? The promises of God are there for us. And any time that they don't come true, it's not His fault. It's ours. He promises here that He'll save His people from their sins. And He will if His people will turn to Him. But too many of them are turning away from Him. So we talked about the prophecy that's always fulfilled. We've talked a little bit about the promises that are fulfilled by Him when we believe and act. But now let's look at what I think it's all about. It's about His presence. In verse 23 it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." God is with us. We can go back into Isaiah again, this time in chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." So it tells us that in the first part of Matthew, it says, Matthew 1:23, it says that God is going to be with us. His name even means God with us. Back in prophecy, it says that unto us a child is born, fully human, to be born as a child in that manger. Fully human, unto us is born. Unto us a son is given. A son is the Son of God. And He's given to us, fully deity, the Son of God, is given to us. It's about His presence with us. That's what we've got to understand. If we look at what God has done to spend time with us, His name means He wants to spend time with us. His promise of prophecy in the Old Testament is that He was deity, He was man, and He came to us. All of that Voyager stuff, people trying to reach Him. You know, there's only one religion in the world that their God comes down to man, and that's ours. Everybody else is trying to do something to get to their God or to become their God. If I could reach my God, He wouldn't be God. But the fact that He can come down and reach me makes Him God. He came to us that night in a manger. As He did that, all the Christmas stories, we can take them, we can take bits and pieces from each one, and we can look at them and we can see that the wise men traveled to see Jesus, and they did their part. They traveled 700 to 800 miles following the star. The shepherds were out in the field in the country, and it was dark, and they were able to come and into the manger that night and see Jesus. And the wise men came into the house a year or so later, 2 years later, and they were able to see Jesus. They did their part in order to see Jesus. Now it's going to get a little pointed, because we can look at what Jesus did. We've read this about Him coming and the name that means He's with us, that He was given to us, He was born to us. The first part of Matthew tells us it's for us, that He could be with us. Matthew chapter 28 verse 20 says, "And lo, I am with you always." It's all about Him being with us. That's His purpose. It's about His presence. But we make it about our presence. We make it about, well, we came and we did this and we did that. He left heaven. He came born as a baby. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He laid down His life on the cross. He died, was buried, and rose again 3 days later, ascended into heaven, and is coming back. And He did all of that for me. He did all of that for you, so that He could be with you. The God of this universe, that manger scene, and all of that that follows it, He did for you to have a relationship with you. And I'm not talking about just that first salvation experience. I'm talking about every single day you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's done all of that. Question, what have you done to have a relationship with Him? Well, you know, Pastor, it's about God coming to us. You just told us. Yes, but there is a response. Those wise men knew about the star. They had been told about the Scripture, and they traveled all that distance. That was their response to the fact that they knew God had came down as the King of Kings. Those shepherds were told out in the field that he's in Bethlehem. He's in the city of David today. What are you going to do about it? They didn't stay out in the field. They had a response to the fact that He was coming. What's your response to the fact that He came? My first response when I was 21 years old was to accept Him as my personal Savior. But what was my response yesterday morning or this morning? What's it going to be tomorrow? We celebrate Christmas because of what He's done and the fact that He's come in, and we can get all excited, and we should, and we can do all of these things and decorate and do great things to celebrate. We can use this time of the year to tell people about Jesus, and we should. But if halfway through January it doesn't mean anything, then it probably doesn't mean anything today. It's kind of like those New Year's resolutions. Man, I'm so excited, and I'm doing this, and I'm getting a treadmill, and I'm ready, and then middle of January, I use it to hang my shirts on. Some of you are laughing, some of you are frowning, because either way, you know you've done it. But sometimes we treat Christmas, the birth of Christ, the same way as we treat those New Year's resolutions. We're excited for it today, this week. But it needs to mean something. Our response has to be beyond the day. Those wise men went back changed. Man, when they were there, they opened up everything they had. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they laid it before Him. That was the gift that they gave. That's what they had. They had traveled all that distance with that gold and that frankincense and that myrrh, and they had made their way to Jesus. And when they finally were at the presence of Jesus, they gave everything they had. Have we given everything we have? Or do we just give what we don't want to carry back? Because too many times we'll just load some of it up and take it back with us. Those shepherds, when they came, they had the opportunity to see Jesus, and they came and they saw that it was everything that God said it would be, and there He was in a manger, and they saw it, and they went away changed, praising and glorifying God. Their life was changed. I wonder sometimes if we're changed. We celebrate it because it's that day on the year. It's that time of season when everybody gets excited. But if it's going to change me, it's going to change me in January and February and March and every other day of the year. I love it when there are people that want to put up Christmas lights all year long. And we've got a couple of those that if they could, if their family would let them, they would put them up all year long. And I'm not going to mention names. But the reason for that is because I know what's in their heart. It's not about the decorations, it's about Christ. And that's where we need to be. We need to be celebrating Him every day. Because He came that day in the manger, not just for that day, but that day led to the cross, which led to 3 days later, which leads to when He's coming back. And we need to celebrate all of those things every day. It needs to be a part of who we are. So as we think about, we could go through the whole book of Matthew, but it's about His presence. He came as God with us, and He says, I'll be with you always. He was born to us. He was given to us to be with us. And unfortunately, there's days that you and I get up and we don't even take the time to spend with Him. We need to see what we're doing for Him. We're not asked to travel hundreds of miles. We're not asked to get up in the middle of the night and go to a manger. All we've got to do is acknowledge what He's done for us. Accept that and live it out. Share it with those around us. And if we think about what He did, it makes it a whole lot easier. The fact that He did come and He did die. And it's not just a part of Christmas. It's not just a part of Easter. It is life in Jesus Christ. Voyager 1 is actually farther away, they say now, than Voyager 2. And I'm just going by the research that I was able to do this week. Voyager 1, as of I believe it's April, somewhere around the 16th of 2024, responded back to the United States, to its base. It had lost contact for something like 6 years. They thought they had lost it. They thought it wasn't ever going to respond again. And then earlier this year, it made contact communication back with Earth. They thought they had lost it. This is my thought. Has God thought that you've lost contact with Him? Are you reaching out? Are you searching? Are you responding back to Him? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before You and we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your word and all that it entails. In Your love and Your mercy and in Your grace. Lord, we just ask that You would speak to us. Motivate us, encourage us, challenge us, convict us, draw us. Help us to be what You desire us to be. God, we want to spend time with You in Your presence. We thank You and we praise You. for the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the love of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.